So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
In the church is focusing our mind, our attention, our bodies, our souls, our whole spiritual outlook, the direction that is of our entire life, because our spiritual life shouldn't be separate from all the rest of our life. We're focusing on the end times. And when I talk about the end times, we're talking about the end times, the end of the world, the final coming of Christ. But we're also talking about the judgment that you and I will face when we die. And so it's an appropriate time, yes, even as we approach the joyful celebrations that have already begun heading into Christmas, to talk about the four last things. Those are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Remembering that death is imminent. Judgment is something we all will face. We all are responsible for what we have done in our own lives. Heaven, can we only imagine? The choir of angels, those saints who have walked before us, eternally remaining in the presence of Christ, all pain, all frustration, all confusion, all ambiguity, totally God, all of that gone, absolute union with God, nothing is in the way from you showing perfect love to others and receiving that perfect love. And then there's hell, the consuming and painful fire that never runs out. That is eternal separation from God. As we talk about the four last things today on Trending, we'll dive into how death is final. Judgment is indeed real. Heaven is what we are made for. And hell is absolute separation from God. We don't talk about these things to make us afraid. But we do have to remember one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fear of the Lord. That is fear of separation from God. Fear of doing something that would take us outside of the life of grace and the loving reciprocity between us and God, the absolute gift we've received from Him. And so I want to unpack this theme today on Trending of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I've mentioned that the readings at Mass have been orienting and directing us toward this whole idea of judgment, heaven and hell, the end times. I want to start, before we dive into death, by reading one of the readings that we read as the liturgical year comes to a close and we approach Advent, and that comes from Matthew. Matthew 25, and as we turn that page, and you can always, by the way, follow along. As we turn that page to Matthew chapter 25, you could really read almost the whole chapter, the parable and the talents, all orienting us to understand what God is telling us about judgment and those who will be with Him and those who will not. People like to think that judgment isn't real. Well, here's a reminder that we will die and we will be judged. We read the story of the parable, and then next, after the story of the parable, you come to this dialogue where Jesus is talking in verse 31. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne." Now, this glorious throne that Jesus is talking about is a throne where He's going to sit and judge. Remember, at the end of the all ages, at the end of time, Jesus Christ will judge us, both at our particular judgment when we die and the final judgment. We read, Jesus says, "Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will be separated, and they will be separated one from another as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep at His right hand, but the goats at the left. When the King will say to those at His right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That is heaven. He then goes on to say, "For I was hungry and you gave me food." This is the description of those people, what they did that merits them heaven. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. He goes on, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? Listen, it's a humility. They weren't sitting there patting themselves on the back thinking, wow, I really deserve heaven. And they weren't focused on doing all the, quote, things right so that they could get a reward. They said, and when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king answered them. Remember, the king is Jesus Christ. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to thee? In other words, they weren't seeing the needs of their neighbor. And Jesus answers, and he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is from Matthew chapter 5, 25, one of the readings that we read as the liturgical year comes to an end. We're preparing to head into the Advent season, which is the time of preparation and penance to greet our Lord in the celebration of Christ at Christmas, in the reception of him whenever we receive him in the Eucharist, at our death. This is why we talk about the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And I'll repeat this last line, verse 46 of chapter 25 of Matthew, where Jesus is telling the story about when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his glorious throne, the judgment seat. Jesus is talking about your and my judgment. And that final line of chapter 25 reads, and they will go away into eternal punishment. That is those who didn't know Christ and serve and see Christ in others. But then he says, but the righteous into eternal life. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. We're unpacking the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I want to start by unpacking this theme of death. You know, it's interesting in our current culture, we tend to think that death is avoidable, that we can get out of it. So many of the movies and television shows talk about resurrected life, second chances. And of course, we're all for second chances, but the reality is that death is final. We see this in the undead, those people who live forever, even in this transhumanism movement, in things such as Meta and the new Facebook, you know, there's this desire to live in a virtual reality, for some reason lying to ourselves, believing that the body and the soul no longer matter, that we can upload our mind, our emotions, that we can be free of experiencing emotions, be free of experiencing pain, sorrow, death. It's Wednesdays here on Trending. We talk often about St. Joseph. And St. Joseph is known as that patron of a happy death, of a peaceful death. And it's so fascinating to me because many people who pray to St. Joseph are praying to him to grant them a happy death, a peaceful death, an eased death, to be with him, them, comforting them. Why would you want a peace-filled, happy, and comforting death? Why would we pray to St. Joseph? Well, I hope we're looking to the rest of the picture, and that is that we're praying for a holy death, one in which we are prepared for Christ and going to Christ. This is so important. I think that this is why we should turn to St. Joseph and praying for him to be with us and intercede for us at our death. Because St. Joseph, we know little about him when it comes to the life of Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have very limited information, but what we do know is that he's no longer alive at the time of Christ's public ministry. He's never mentioned. And so the tradition holds that he would have died and died with the Blessed Virgin Mary and Jesus Christ himself at his bedside. Talk about someone who would know the power of a holy death and being ushered into the kingdom of heaven. That's why we pray for St. Joseph's intercession, for a peaceful, hope-filled death just like his, a happy death, because he was oriented toward the beatific vision. I won't get ahead of myself. We're going to talk about heaven in just a little bit as we walk through the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. But we're still talking about death. We have to remember when talking about death, the certainty of death. Before I unpack that a little bit more, one of my favorite books, I recommend it all the time in favor of saints, is St. Alphonsus Liguori. He has a book titled Preparation for Death. And if you're looking for reading any time of the year, from Lent to Advent to just needing a good kick in the pants when it comes to your life and redirecting it toward God, Preparation for Death has very, very powerful, pack-filled statements and meditations for you to work through. And one of the things said in Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus Liguori, he says, "My brother, if you wish to live well, endeavor to live during the remainder of your life in the presence of death." What's St. Alphonsus Liguori saying here? If you want to live well, that is, if you want to live in the life of Christ and with Christ in heaven one day, he says you have to endeavor to live during the remainder of your life in the presence of death. To know that death is imminent, that it's final. We do not know when it will occur. It is certain. And if we have that perspective, we should allow our faith to transform every waking moment and sleeping moment, trusting the Lord, of our life. That we are living for and with him, remaining in a state of grace, so that we're prepared to greet Christ at any moment when indeed we are called to die. Pondering the certainty of death, it's fascinating if you read St. Alphonsus Liguori's works, he speaks a lot about the reality that deathbed conversions, although we like to think of them and even ponder them that, you know, when I'm dying, I'll change my life. When I know I'm dying, well, not everyone knows when they're dying. Some people die in an instant. I'll never forget a dear friend of mine about 10 years ago who had recently been married, was pregnant with her first baby girl, was driving to a pro-life event along with other pro-life missionaries. I believe the driver was drunk and hit her car head on. She and her baby died instantly upon impact. Others in the car were injured. And I remember so many people thinking over and over again, here was a woman who gave her life serving our Lord, serving the church, loving the least of these. She didn't know she was going to die that night. You think, how could she die? She was on her way to do the work of God and pro-life work. We don't know when, and it is an immature attitude to think that we can't be taken even when doing good work. Even the martyrs were taken when serving and choosing God. God is not afraid of death, and he does not want us to be afraid of death. But I bring this story of my dear friend up because she didn't know when she was going to die. And so many of us can think, oh, well, when I know I have that illness, when I know I have that heart attack, when I know whatever it might be that I have time, I'll start putting my life in order. Well, St. Alphonsus Liguori talks about how deathbed conversions are rare and few and far between. And you and I may know some people who have had deathbed conversions. Praise the Lord. But that is not the norm. It's the exception. The reality is that death is certain and we need to constantly prepare for Christ, the King, who will judge us. And so this is the importance of the finality of death. Understanding, too, that death is necessary. In fact, it's important to understand that prior to original sin, death as we know it did not exist. But today, death is necessary for the resurrection of the body, to live fully that life with God. Death is necessary for us to even die to ourselves day to day. This is why even when we talk about the great sacrament of baptism, it's a sacrament of initiation because it is a new birth. It's being born from above. It's a death to self and life in Christ. We become little Christ meant to be like him. You see, this is why Jesus Christ's death transcends all. His obedience made possible Christosis. Christosis is this biblical, theological term that has to do with becoming like Christ, to be crucified, to become little Christs, to become the anointed one like Christ. Christ means anointed one. I could never stand it growing up, and my middle name is Christian. My editor always was like, why did you guys name me Christian? It's a boy's name. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't understand it. And it wasn't until I started studying theology and I learned Christ means anointed one. And so often we know our middle names we take as our Christian name. Well, we are meant to be, by our baptism, the anointed one like Christ. That we are anointed for Christ, in Christ, and with Christ. And that Christ's obedience, his life, can be our life. That he, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we can live the life of Christ. We are not alone. And so this is why we shouldn't be afraid of death. In fact, we should desire death. And we should see this Christosis, this transformation into the image of Christ, take place. So that when we do face death, the finality, the certainty, the necessity of death, we will be prepared. As St. Alphonsus Liguori said, my brother, if you wish to live well, endeavor to live during the remainder of your life in the presence of Christ. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. And as we ponder death for just a moment, maybe you're saying, well, how do I get prepared other than living in the presence of death? Live a sacramental life. Live in a state of grace. Worthily receive Holy Communion by regularly going to confession, at least bare minimum once a month. Once a month. St. Teresa of Avila talked about how we should work on one predominant vice in our life. What is that predominant vice? And fight to eradicate it by the grace of Jesus Christ. Search for it. Pray to overcome it. Pray for the virtue that counters that vice. Pray. There's a devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, asking Our Lady of Sorrows to help intercede in your life, to help you understand what those predominant vices, what those predominant sins, maybe even mortal sin, are in your life. And it's important to remember, as we sin, our bodies adjust to sin. That is, our body adjusts to what the soul is doing. So in other words, when we're battling sin, when we're battling a vice, we are battling the whole person, body and soul. And we often have to fight intellectually, spiritually, bodily, all of it's united to be a part of working on this one predominant vice in our life. And once that one's gone, we work on the next. There's always more. We can do this. Pray for the intercession of Our Lady of Sorrow, St. Teresa of Avila, and St. Joseph, that we're prepared for death, that we have a happy and holy death because we're oriented toward the kingdom. And that is where we are going. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio as we walk through the four last things being death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Remembering that now as we dive into the topic of judgment, judgment is real. Judgment is before us. Judgment will happen in our lives. There are two types of judgment. Our particular judgment, when we personally die. And we meet that time of judgment in our life where Jesus Christ judges us, as well as the end times, the final judgment of all the earth. We will be judged twice. And I want to turn just a moment looking to what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8. He says, whom he foreknew, that is, whom God knew, Jesus Christ knew, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be made conformable to the image of his Son. In other words, what St. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 here is that who God knew, he predestined and made conformable to the image of his son. That is, if you know Christ, if Christ knows you, if your life is being transformed by him, you're being made into the image of Christ himself. You are being made for the kingdom of heaven. Are we cooperating with God's mercy, with his abundant graces and love, in order to be directed by Christ to Christ, to live with Christ forever? St. Alphonsus Liguori, in his book Preparation for Death, says, to obtain eternal salvation, the soul must be found at the last judgment, having led a life conformable to the life of Jesus Christ. So Alphonsus Liguori is saying that in order to be with God eternally, in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven, eternal salvation, to live forever, we're talking about eternal life. So many people are talking about uploading your brain to this digital sphere. Well, how about we talk about what is real rather than creating our own God and our own fake empty promises of trying to live forever when we can't apart from God? St. Alphonsus Liguori is talking about this last judgment. Well, where if we were truly conformed to Christ, this is what we will be judged based on, what we have done in our lives. Now, as we ponder judgment here for just a moment, it's important as we unpack this, understanding the finality of judgment. The basis of what we did in our lives, everything that we did, drawing it all together, this is what we will be judged on. The good and the bad, our intentions, our culpability. Did we know? Were we acting freely when we did particular things in our life? We don't like this because it destroys relativism. That is this cultural attitude that I can do whatever I want. My truth is my truth, your truth. My morality is my morality, yours is your morality. Where we try to make up this idea that we can do whatever we want in no judgment. Everything goes. Coexistence. Today, this attitude means anything is okay. Anything passes. But in fact, the reality of death, judgment, heaven, and hell, and particularly judgment, tells a different story. And so I'm going to come back here on Trending on Relevant Radio, continuing to unpack the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
As we come to the close of the year, the Church in all of its readings is preparing us for the end times, for our judgment when we die, for the end of the earth, for the coming of the kingdom in our lives. And so we're talking about the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. We've already walked through death. I want to unpack further judgment. Judgment, understanding again that there are two understandings when it comes to judgment. There's our particular judgment, that moment when we die, and the final judgment, that last judgment, the end time after the coming, the second coming of Christ. Now, when we talk about judgment, we have to understand first what we just discussed when it came to death. And if you missed this, you can listen to the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending. It will be available this evening. And the finality of death is what begins to help us understand judgment. That we will be judged on the basis of our lives up until our death. Death is that line. The line is drawn. That was your opportunity. You see, it's almost like a boundary. God has a boundary. He goes, okay, I'm giving you your whole life, however short or long it will be. You are responsible for what you do with that life. You choose. I gave you free will. I gave you an intellect. You have the capacity to love. Have you loved me? Have you loved your neighbor? You see, we cannot stand the idea of judgment. We dislike it because, as I mentioned just before, it destroys this cultural attitude of relativism, this idea that I can do whatever I want. No judgment. I'm the judge of everything. I decide what is right and wrong, what is moral and not moral, what my spiritual life will look like. I create my own God or what I think God is. In fact, I did an episode where I discussed what we think God is, what we create God to be in our life. All of us tend to fail by doing this, by creating our own image of God, of what we want God to be in our life, missing the great grandeur of who God actually is. Now, judgment is also contrary to modernism. Even our own sometimes Catholic views of modernism, not just the universal culture, where we overly focus on God's mercy separate from God's justice. God is all merciful. He gave us literally the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can be healed by the blood of the Lamb. We just have to be sorry. God can give us a mercy, but it also requires that we repent. And this is a part of God's justice. That's why it's so important for us to understand that overemphasis on mercy without judgment, without love, without understanding that God gave us a way of living. Saint Joseph, we read, was a righteous man. Why was he righteous? Because he lived a life according to the commandments of God. And God is merciful to those who, yes, need mercy, but who also are open to God's mercy, are open to the life of God within them. Now we know at our judgment, there are three places we can go: heaven, purgatory, or hell. Now, if we are in a state of grace, we have no sin whatsoever, you know, no venial sins even that are keeping us back, then we can go straight to heaven, praise the Lord. If we've made up for all of those things that we've done on earth, because it's one thing to not have sin, but sometimes there's atonement that needs to take place. Well, then that's where we then go to purgatory. The fires, the purging fires of purgatory, where we have to work through those venial sins, those lesser faults, so that we, when we are ready, we will be able to see God as he is. Otherwise, we have to be purged, because if we're not purged from those sins, we won't even be able to see God. It would be painful. It would be impossible for us to actually even fully see the grandeur of God in heaven. Now, some people, especially our Protestant brothers and sisters, doubt or are confused by this idea of purgatory. And we see this coming in particular from the book of Maccabees, where Judas Maccabeus in 2 Maccabees chapter 12 talks about praying for the dead. Well, why would we pray for the dead? Because those souls in purgatory are being purged, are making atonement, so that they might one day, however long, short or long it might take, they will be with God in heaven one day. You know, that's why we pray. We're at least shooting for purgatory. This is why a lot of people engage in plenary indulgences. You can look up plenary indulgences. So that when the idea is that you've gone to confession, you've done the other things that the plenary indulgence requires, but that you're getting rid of time in purgatory so that you can get to Jesus sooner. Who doesn't want that? People will talk about living their purgatory time here on earth. That is that they offer their suffering in reparation for sins they have committed, for a harm they have done. That yes, they've been forgiven by Christ if they've gone to confession, but still making up on a human level. On a human level, interceding for others, turning before God and saying, yes, you've forgiven me, but Lord, I am sorry. And I would like to atone for what I've done. Just like a friendship, a marriage, you may do something that harms your spouse or harms a friend. And you could do something terrible and they can forgive you. But they're also watching, will they do better next time? You can forgive, but it's important that we're rebuilding up those friendships, those relationships. And that we're not just going, oh, you forgave me, and then we move on and don't do anything to atone or show our love, our appreciation for the mercy and forgiveness that's been granted to us. St. Alphonsus Liguori, again, in his book Preparation for Death, if you've not read it, I swear it should be required reading for the show. He talks about sin, and I think this is important because it talks about the habit of sin and the impact this has on us. And this is important when we come to the idea of judgment, because we tend to justify a lot of sins in our life because we've developed a habit of committing them. So we think they're not that big of a deal. And so one day we may come to our judgment and God saying, well, you're culpable for this. This sin's getting in the way. And we're going, but Lord, I didn't know that was wrong. What are you talking about? Well, here's what's important that we understand. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, the habitual sinner is in no way affected. He will speak of these things, the things he's done, and hear them spoken of, that is sin, with indifference, as if they were things that concerned him not, and he will only become more hardened. He shall be as firm as a smith's anvil. St. Alphonsus Liguori goes on to say, a bad habit by degree destroys even remorse of conscience. So in other words, if we have a bad habit, if we have this habitual sin that we're doing, at a certain point, we no longer even notice them. We speak of them blasély. We talk about our own sin as if it doesn't matter. We make jokes about our cussing, about our taking the Lord's name in vain. The terrible things, the attitudes we have toward our spouses that we think's funny because that's normal to emasculate our spouse and our culture. We talk about these things with indifference. We become hardened. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, to the habitual sinner, the most enormous sins appear as nothing. St. Augustine himself says, sins, however horrible, when once habitual, seem little or no sin at all. St. Jerome says, habitual sinners lose even shame in sinning. St. Alphonsus Liguori says that St. Peter compares a habitual sinner in the second book of Peter, chapter 2, to the swine that wallows in the mire. It doesn't care. It's normal. Sin makes us ugly. We don't even realize it. Sin makes us boast of it, and we don't even realize it. Sin makes us numb to it, and we don't even realize it. This is why a nightly examination of conscience is so important. This is why going to confession at least monthly is so important, because we will be judged and we do not want to become numb to our sin, shameless to our sin, indifferent. We don't want it to become habitual in our lives. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. We're unpacking the four last things, those four last things that help us to understand death, judgment, heaven, and hell, so that we might be prepared, that we might ponder the mystery of Christ and seek to cooperate with the grace and life of Christ within us, so that we might be oriented toward God and one day be with Him in heaven. In fact, we're going to come back talking about heaven as well as hell. It's so important that we understand this. Where are we going? Where do we want to go?
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
That's I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. If you've never heard the song, very beautiful, very profound song. I highly encourage you listen to it. We're talking about the four last things here on Trending with Timory. We've already walked through death and judgment. We still have yet to walk through heaven and hell. And I want to unpack heaven, understanding there's something pretty incredible about Jesus Christ coming. Jesus in the incarnation, in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ changed everything. He changed the course, the direction of human history. One of the things I want to touch upon here is to understand that by his coming to earth, he gave us a foretaste of heaven on earth. That when we are living in a state of grace, we are receiving a foretaste of heaven. I keep pondering this. I think I mentioned it recently. My baby girl was baptized 2 weeks after she was born. She has the life of Christ, the life of grace within her. She's not capable of any sin yet. She's a living, breathing saint. Like all of those children who have been baptized. The question is, what are we doing as parents, to mold the beauty of this saint to remain in a state of sanctifying grace, helping work the edges of their character. God gives us these innocent little children who, yeah, do naughty little things such as poking their fingers in you know, light sockets and various things, you know, making messes, knocking over things. We get to learn a little bit about their character. I learned my daughter's very willful. You know, you learn all of these things, and it prepares you to know, well, where do I have to work with her to help preserve sanctifying grace within this particular child, with this particular joy, strength, challenges, difficulties, personality. Well, I talk about all of this because, again, I digress a little bit, but understanding we get a foretaste of heaven. We have living, breathing saints among us. St. John Paul II transformed so many people's lives because he believed that you could be a living, breathing saint on earth and go to heaven. This is possible for you and I by living a sacramental life, even in the face of anything we may have done, however terrible it might be. We can live a grace-filled life, the life of Christ full of joy within us. Now, as we talk about heaven, this should be the deepest longing of our souls. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1024 talks about it, describes it as definitive happiness. Definitive happiness. You know, we live in a culture where everyone's looking for those four tips to be happy. How to overcome sorrow, get through depression, anxiety, friendlessness, loneliness, isolation, whatever it might be. You want to know how? There's one answer, and that's heaven. That's why we have a weekly happy hour every Monday here on Trending, because it's to help us understand that God has a plan for our bodies and our souls. And it's to be with him. And if we can understand that as we work through every little thing, we will understand that we're called to live a grace-filled life, a life of joy that is rooted in God. A life of joy is a life of grace. Just focusing on momentary, fleeting happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Sorrow comes and goes. Giddiness comes and goes. There are emotions. But joy is a gift from God. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it is the life of grace within us. This is what we should be seeking to live now so that we can live it with him in heaven in the most perfected way. It's simple. We need to live a life of faith and trust, which demands obedience in order to enter into heaven. Heaven is simple. Saint Benedict the 12th says souls see the divine essence. It's an intuitive vision when they're in heaven. It's face to face, and it's without mediation. We don't need a go-between. It's face-to-face intuition, an intuitive vision, and souls see the divine essence. This is you and I coming into our full identity. The life of man, the glory of God is man fully alive. St. Irenaeus talks about this. The life of man is the vision of God. That our life is fully what it's meant to be when we have the vision of God. And the glory of God is a man fully alive in that vision with him in heaven. And I think it's so important that we understand this, that heaven is familial. It's family oriented. You have pains from your family, you know, brokenness. God is the perfect father and he wants us with him forever. Yes, he has rules, but he is all loving, all merciful. Gentle, kind, generous, and he gives us everything we need so that we might be with him. But will we cooperate with him? Will we make heaven our deepest longing of our soul so that we orient our whole life toward it? Heaven's also familiar to us because it's what we're created for. And as I said when I started talking about heaven, Jesus Christ changed everything. He gave us a glimpse of heaven on earth. God came to earth. and we experience when in a state of grace, when living the life of Christ, when if we're in, we have to understand when we're in the Mass, when we're kneeling during the consecration, the transfiguration, or sorry, the transubstantiation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are living heaven on earth. The whole choir of angels and all the saints are present in that moment with us. Heaven is familiar to us if we're only living in that state of grace and pondering the great gift God has indeed already given to us. My favorite psalm is Psalm 27, a psalm, you know, we remember that sacred scripture is the inspired word of God. Yes, for example, the psalmist, and we know David to be the primary psalmist in Psalm 20, in the Psalms, we are reading the words of God. This is the desire God has for us to live out, as it was said by the psalmist. This is what Psalm 27 verse 4 says. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I hope this becomes a goal, a mission for you. Make it your mission statement. Write it down. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is talking about the beatific vision. This is talking about living life eternally with God in heaven. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. We're talking about the four last things, and we've talked about death, we've talked about judgment, we've talked about heaven, and last is hell, and we probably should mix hell into, you know, further on end with heaven, but it is helpful for us to ponder very seriously the reality of hell at a time where we don't like to think that the devil or hell is real. If you end up in hell, or whoever does, we know that hell is final. We know it, as St. Alphonsus Liguori has called it, the principal torment, the pain of having lost God. Hell is void of all light. St. Basil the Great, when talking about the separation of fire and light, talks about this in reference to hell. He says, the Lord will divide the fire from the light, so that the fire will only perform the office of burning and not giving light. Ponder that for a moment. Hell is eternal separation from God, the pain of having lost God. St. Basil the Great says, the Lord will divide the fire from the light so that the fire will only perform the office of burning when a person is in hell and not giving light. Now, if you think about fire and what it does, it gives light. Fire is consuming, it's purifying, and it's destructive. Now, we can think about heaven, purgatory, and hell. In heaven, the fire is all-consuming. It's light. In purgatory, it's purifying, it's purging, it's orienting us toward light, it's bringing light into our lives. But in hell, fire is nothing but destructive. It destroys. As St. Basil said, the Lord divides the fire from the light, and it's only the destructive fire that remains in hell. That eternal separation from God. I always, when I think about hell, it's important for us to think for just a moment the reality that God gives us everything we need not to go to hell. In fact, fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord isn't that I'm terrified and I'm afraid and he's a dictator. No, it's to understand that we don't want to be separated from the life of God. We don't want to do anything that would displease our loving, merciful, and just Father. Fear of the Lord is a reminder for us to live a sacramental life, living in a state of grace, going to confession, and we're receiving our Lord Jesus Christ worthily in the Eucharist. And seeing that our whole life is meant to be a model for others, that we are meant to be witnesses to others by our example. As we read so many of the readings in the church right now at the end of this liturgical year, heading into Advent. I love that the beginning of the year is Advent. The beginning of the liturgical year is Advent because it's a preparation. At the start of your day, you prepare to live your day, right? And when you don't prepare well, your day often doesn't go well. If you don't get the right amount of movement in, if you don't get the right foods in, if you don't get, you know, everything done in the right amount of time, you're rushed, you're stressed, you can't focus, you're hungry, you're grumpy, you're angry, you didn't sleep right. Well, it's so fitting that the church is orienting us to the first season in that time of Advent and preparation. And before we get into that Advent preparation, the church is already talking about the end of the world and the end times. This is why we're talking about death, judgment, heaven, and hell today on Trending. In one of the readings that's given to us, we read from Psalm 31. And I think this is important because if you're afraid of death, if you're afraid of judgment, if you're afraid of hell, that you're concerned that you may not merit heaven, you can't merit heaven alone. And we're reminded of this time and time again. If only we were to read sacred scripture, to know the word of God. Psalm 31 is one of the readings given to us at the end of the liturgical year. And we read bits and pieces, some of the lines. Take out your Bible, read Psalm 31. The Lord is here to guide you. You are never alone. This is what we read here. We read from Psalm 31. And remember, it says, inspired word of God. The Holy Spirit is the primary author of scripture. Yes, we have the authors such as David and others. But this is the word of God to us. Thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net which is hidden for me, for thou art my refuge. I will rejoice and be glad for thy steadfast love, because thou hast seen my affliction, thou hast taken heed of my adversities, and hast not delivered me into the hand of the enemy, thou hast set me free in a broad place. Oh, how abundant is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for those who fear thee, and wrought for those who take refuge in thee, in the sight of the sons of men. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly requites him who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This psalm, Psalm 31, is a reminder that if we are waiting for God, if we are orienting toward God, God will deliver us from our enemies. He will help us in the face of our own adversities, our adversities that we create in our lives. He will prepare us and direct us and lead us and guide us to be with him in heaven.
Stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.